If I were to ask you to name your favorite hymn, I bet you could do it in a heartbeat. Maybe more than one, right? And I would venture to say that that hymn is your favorite hymn, not because of its theological content, but because of the memories that are associated with it. Perhaps you learned that hymn while you stood next to your mother holding her hand in church, if you grew up in church. Or maybe you learned that hymn at a camp. You've been at camp, your life was transformed by what happened there. And whenever you hear that hymn, you're taken back to that place. Perhaps it's a hymn that you heard sung at a wedding or a service of death and resurrection. And it touched you so deeply that it never quite let you go. We don't ordinarily choose our favorite hymns because of their theological content, although when we plan for worship, we try to see that the hymns have something to do with the text of the day and the day of the Christian year and the topic. But for most of us, we don't think about that much. We think about how that song has touched our life, and often we carry it with us. The tune going over and over and over again, replaying in our head. In fact, people who have done studies with Alzheimer's patients have found that they will remember and respond to music or words set to music more quickly than anything else in their lives. My own mother, when she was progressing in her Alzheimer's, came to stay with us for a while. My dad had had heart surgery, and she was living at our house, and we were at Blakemore at the time. We had a bluegrass band, the Blakemore Boys. They would play on one Wednesday night, and she was there, and while she couldn't remember much except the tape loop of stories she continued to tell, I watched her. And when they sang the old hymns that she had grown up with, she knew every word. There's something about words carried to us in music that make them stick, that make them stay. And I think a part of that is because music literally speaks from deep to deep. Breath that comes out of the depths of our bodies when we sing passes through the vocal cords, and the vibrations pass through the air, and they enter into other bodies, into our inner ears, and vibrate the bones there. Literally, music travels from deep to deep. But it's not just through our voices and our ears. When you hear the organ play here, I don't know if you've noticed, you can feel the vibrations throughout your body. Even people who are profoundly deaf can experience music as vibration. And it fills our whole body. I think that may have been something of what Jesus was talking about in these two very brief stories. In fact, even though they're called parables in the scripture, they don't really even qualify as stories. They're extended metaphors. They're what a rabbi would call a midrash, okay, or a mashal. An extended metaphor that says something or explains something about a scripture or a topic. And the topic Jesus wants to talk about is the kingdom of heaven. That's the topic he wanted to talk about a lot. And in this section of Matthew, he gives one image after another, after another, after another of what the kingdom of heaven is like. You heard two this morning. First of all, the kingdom of heaven is like the tiniest of seeds. Yet when it's planted, a huge tree grows from that tiny seed. And the tree is so large that the birds come and they nest in its branches. The past couple of weeks we've been talking about fruitfulness. The fruit of this tree is that it offers a place for community, for the birds to come and make their nests and lay their eggs and raise their young and then depart, only for other birds to come. So something small grows into something very, very large. The second one is similar, but not exactly the same. There is a bit of yeast. The old translations say leaven. And there's a huge amount of flour. And that little bit of yeast pervades the entire bread made from that flour. Now, I know something about this because Margaret, my wife, bakes sourdough bread. And every Thursday morning, I get up and I do the most important part of that process. I feed the starter. And in feeding the starter, you take the starter out of the refrigerator and you put it in a bowl and you add the special ingredients and you stir it up, and all day long it just sits there and bubbles. And then Margaret can take a small amount of that starter and put it in with a larger amount of flour and other ingredients, and pretty soon she has dough that will go into pans, and that starter has pervaded that entire lump of dough. Come to think of it, maybe she does the more important part. So there's an image of small growing into large, and there's an image of how a little something can fill our whole lives. I'll suggest to you today that music is a similar kind of image. The kingdom of heaven is like music, where a single hymn, perhaps even a single line or a single note, gets planted in us. And out of that grows a kind of faith that we could never have imagined previously. I'm going to suggest to you that sometimes just a little experience with music, as it comes into our bodies, as it affects our bodies, can pervade our whole lives. Thirty-six years ago, Don Marler came to lead the choir here at West End. And it was a mustard seed, I understand. It was pretty small. But he stayed. He planted that seed. That seed grew into a large tree. And in that tree was space for a great community. The music that has been sung across 36 years has filled the lives of more people than we can imagine. Because that music goes inside you, gets under your skin, and Don has been getting under your skin, some of you, for 36 years, right? And I mean that in the most complimentary way, Don. You know that's true because you've heard the music, you've heard the hymns, you've heard the anthems, you've been here for the concerts. You have grown by all of these things. Now, 4.5 years ago, or actually about 5 years ago now, when I learned that I was going to be appointed to West End, it was a little daunting to know that I was going to be appointed and serve with the Don Marler. He thinks I'm saying this facetiously or ironically. I'm not. You see, I knew Don slightly. I knew who he was. We had met on occasion. We'd never worked together. But if people knew one thing about this congregation, they knew that the music was superb. And the name that got associated with that music, even though, of course, the choirs were a big part of that, the name that got associated with that was Don Marler. And I thought, wow, how do you work with somebody who is basically a legend and not just in his own mind? Well, I learned that it was very easy and pleasurable to work with Don Marler. We seemed to have a great working relationship from the very beginning. And even when we disagreed, if you can imagine that, and Don was clearly in the wrong, although I doubt that you'll ever convince him of that, I knew that anything Don suggested, he fully believed was for the good of this congregation, or he would not have suggested it. He had the good of West End at heart, at all times. Don was also as much a pastor as any of the appointed clergy have been here. And not just to the choir, certainly to the choirs, but to folks who had been here a long time who could no longer attend church, if they had an issue or a problem, Don made sure we knew about that. He responded and helped us respond. That's what pastors do. You see, what I think is that God planted a seed here. God has planted many seeds here, but this particular one, 36 years ago, has grown into a huge tree around which a community can gather. God has leavened this loaf, has put yeast, has put starter into this community so that the music pervades all of us individually and collectively, because that's what music does. Music moves us, not just figuratively, but literally. Several years ago, I was serving another congregation, which is somewhat similar to this one, upper middle class, kind of, you know, stayed in our worship. And I've invited Patrick Matsikinyeri from Zimbabwe to come and lead the music. And Patrick was used to people dancing in the aisles. That didn't happen, okay? But Patrick moved us and really got us rocking. This was about as good as we could do. But that's what we did. If you watch me up here during the music, you will notice I can hardly keep my feet still. My head bobs. Music moves us. It moves us because it fills us. It fills us because it grows inside us. Like a tiny seed, like a bit of leaven, it grows inside us to the point that we can't keep it to ourselves. One reason why, if people know anything about this congregation, they know about its music, is because you've taken the song you learned here out into the world. You've taken it to those folks you meet in your everyday lives, and you've shared it with them, and you've invited them into it, which is, after all, what that music is for. Because you see, if the kingdom of heaven is like music, then it reaches out to all. It reaches out to those folks who may have been hurt by church. It reaches out to those folks who may have felt neglected by church. It reaches out to those folks who feel they don't belong because they can't sign off on a particular set of beliefs. It reaches out to people who may have never thought there would ever be a place in church for them. That's the song we've been given. And if we take it out, it will grow into a tree larger than we can imagine. It will pervade the whole of our community with the love of God, because that is our song, God's love for us and for all. May it be so. Amen.